Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold, hosting ACTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. I hope everyone's doing well this evening. It is August 22nd, 2015, 6:30 on the East Coast of the United States. I welcome everyone to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And this evening, as every week, we talk about the basic fundamentals of this very ancient spiritual teaching, as well as go into some of the deeper, more esoteric aspects. And that will be done by Sri Kanakchi, who is with us tonight. He is the Mahaji, the 973rd living Sarosha Master from an unbroken line of living Sarosha Masters. Sri Kanakchi, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Leslie, and thank you for having me here. I hope you're fine and well.
I'm doing well, and I hope so yourself. And I wondered if one of the things we might begin with, many people are probably wondering, what does that mean, unbroken line of Sarosha Masters, living Sarosha Masters? Maybe you could give a little explanation for that, if you wouldn't mind starting off there.
Well, it's an issue about time and the measurement of duration, because that's what time does. We live in duration, as we call it, in the lower worlds, or the first four planes of the universe. And that's what ACTA deals with in negotiating these lower realms to get into the higher planes up on the fifth plane and above. But the broken line idea is, in those lower regions, there's a mastery that goes on for as long as it is in the preservation time, as I call it, where we're seeing manifestation. All right, so there, this unbroken line, the only time it would break, it would be when there's no physical plane, when the God destroys everything, and because we believe in a supreme deity in ACTA. And that supreme deity is called the Akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R. But ACTA is not a religion, because they always say if any teaching is related to God, then it's considered a religion. But I say that's not true. Nobody has an exclusive on God and not even religion. And having said all that, the whole idea is that, again, when there's no reality, as we call it, physically, then that's the only break in the lineage of the masters, because the living Sarosha Master is really the first consciousness. In other words, there has to be a consciousness that exists where it is a part of all consciousness, but individual. See, it's sort of this idea that all these cosmic consciousness teachings and anything outside of ACTA is that. They cannot come to grips with the fact of individuality, so they have this big collective hive of everybody's part of the same thing merged into one whole, and that means no individual consciousness. And then they try to discuss that, but it's never clear. So that's why the irony of what we talk about in ACTA is that we have great wisdom and knowledge and information. However, only 1% of the population can get it. That's the ironic part of it, is we have all the answers, but only 1% can hear it. And that means 99 out of 100 will poo-poo, ACTA, or condemn it, or persecute it, and all that business. So we don't care about that, because if you look at a 1% of the population we have in the world today, there's 7.5 billion people. We're looking at 75 million ready souls. Now, we don't have anywhere near that. We may have a few thousand students on the path internationally. But, again, the people would say that's ambitious, 75 million people. But the religions, some of the big religions, even though they're fragmented and factionized and things, they have, the Christian faith supposedly has a billion or so people. But if you look at all the factions and fragmentations of it, it's not really one collective. But again, we don't really compete with all that, and I don't really care what religions do. Our responsibility is to find that 1 in 100 that's ready for liberation in spirit. See, and then you say, well, don't religions do that? Well, they're supposed to. They did in ancient times when they were the pathway teaching the science of Akata by a different name. But again, nowadays, if you study your teaching, you'll find they don't have the same thing that we have in comparison. Now, my training as a Mahaji, I had to study all religions at one time and have, even in this lifetime, studied everything. They just don't have the information. Now, the information is knowledge. Just like when we get the basic fundamentals here each week, we talk about the Shrosha, which is the derivation of the word spirit, and it's a derivative of the word spiral. Like if we look at the word spirit, it has practically the entire word spiral within it. See, it's a derivative of spiral, and spiral is a derivative of Shrosha. And the reason we say that, when you see the symbol of Shrosha, which is a very ancient symbol, on the keystones of all the temples of golden wisdom on all the planes in the universe, there's always this one central temple. That's where all the churches and cathedrals and all that business are derivative of this temple. And again, see, it sounds like it's a religion, but it's not. It's just not a religion. It's four definitions. We call it a pathway, science, or teaching. Only those four approbated or sanctioned terms by me as a Mahaji Living Shrosha Master. Those are the four declaratory definitions of the path. See, I didn't call it a religion because it's not a religion. Religion, the word itself means to bind or regulate. Well, we're not into that. That's not what ACT is about. ACT is about teaching people to become masters in one of the four goals, which are self-realization, God-realization, three goals, main goals, self-realization, God-realization, and Shrosha mastery. So we're not creating followers, albeit they could be declared followers. We prefer the word membership. And then in the membership is free. We don't take money from people. We don't ask for contributions or donations like so many other factions. We don't do that. So it's all free, and we give the basic fundamentals for the essence of man, which is, again, a real fundamental simple idea of light and sound within one. The light is the sound seen, and the sound is the light heard. When people hear the high electrical pitch or the ringing in the ear within, that's their essence of soul. I mean, other teachings don't present this. There's just a few light and sound paths, and they don't put a lot of emphasis on it. They're more into fleecing the flock and taking the money. So we're not into that. I mean, I don't begrudge people making profit. I'm not competing. I'm just saying that we do everything for free. And I think that takes away the undertow of the concern about selling spirit and all that business. So we don't have that issue because all our seminars are free, the books are free, the membership is free. And I'm really happy with that. I think it's fascinating. People really appreciate it. Students are always amazed how nobody has any concern with this money fleecing. Anyway, having said all that, the fundamentals are the master who's a guide on the inner planes, and we do some seminars. We're giving a talk at the Philadelphia Central Library, which is a really beautiful place. There's a big Greco-Roman columns in the front. You can't miss it. It's on Vine Street, and it's a really beautiful library. So we're giving talks there about six times a year, hopefully, for now anyway. And that's, I'm there to talk and teach people and what have you. We have a small group that comes in. We're trying to advertise a little bit more to get people to come down and get the basics of Akata. And like I said, this whole idea is the simplicity part of is if you look at the name Akata, which means equilibrium in English, then we have that short definition of the ancient science of Sahaji. Okay, now we look at the word Akata and Sahaji as foreign terms, and then we say, well, why do we use these foreign words? And I was having a discussion with one of the masters on our path last night. We have about 20 masters out of the membership, And we were talking last night about that same thing in terms of teaching fundamentals and keeping things simple and what have you, so people can get a grasp of this experience of sound, the sound current that we have within us, which is a high electrical pitch or ringing in the ear that people can hear, especially if they go to a quiet place. And we call the big four these resonant places, where you would go to the seashore or the mountains or the desert and the forest areas. And these are places where there's no industrial complex or noise that people can, we call it like an energy dump, where you go and get all your cells cleared out and your body gets very happy, if you will, in harmony with nature. And so if you go to these quiet places especially, you can always hear your sound current within you because you're in a real quiet area, a very harmonious area, and people can hear that sound current very clearly, and that is your one's individual soul. So that's a very ecstatic experience, and the religion is sometimes called rapture. Well, that, I mean, rapture is right. I mean, it's ecstasy when we realize and can experience ourselves as soul. See, that's a very important part of the path of Akasha, that 1% seek, and when they find it, they are so happy and full of joy, and it's uplifting. So that's the whole idea. What we teach is an uplifting path that people can feel this vibration that we call the Sarosha, which, again, is the derivation of the word spirit, and the Sarosha symbol, I was going to get to that a minute ago. The Sarosha symbol looks like a top of a spiral. And on all these temples of golden wisdom, I was talking about the keystone, the Sarosha symbol, is in this stone. It's an ancient stone called Cambriotic or something, some other planular type stone. But it actually has a stylized S-R-A-O-S-H-A, Sarosha, and it looks like the top of a spiral when you see it, because it's a circular a symbol. It's like a mandala in Asian India, where you would be able to use it as contemplation, where the O in the middle is really the sun of the high plane, of the Satnam, or the first plane of the fifth dimension. So you have the four planes in that S-R-A-O-S-H-A. So it's a real magical symbol in terms of its deep esoteric combination of the stylization of it and the derivative of the word spirit. I mean, it's just, to me, it's fascinating. The whole teaching has always been fascinating to me. I've been involved with it for over 45 years. And it's just exciting because it's so uplifting, and it always works, pans out, and people are very happy when they come to the teaching. They can feel that vibration, and that's what it's really about, is being happy and joyful in the essence as soul, which is a happy entity. It's a joyful, ecstatic entity that when you get to it, you feel this natural ecstasy. See, that's why we have people that come and go, and I always wonder why when the people that leave can't really get what we're talking about. I don't think they break through, Leslie, into that ecstasy sometimes. They go a little cold sometimes and don't realize that even a void or coldness can be ecstatic. See, I think they miss that sometimes. It's real paradoxical in terms of what we're talking about. And if people don't really feel the essence, that's why I'm going to ask Leslie to do a huge chant, because when we do the huge chant, you know, we can really feel that essence. Don't you agree, Leslie? We can really feel the energy.
Yes, I do. Because, Sukhanakji, I was just going to mention that. I think the reason that people do leave is they're not doing their contemplation exercises, which is not a requirement, but it's highly suggested, highly recommended that one does these contemplation exercises on a daily basis. If one does them on a daily basis, then it really starts to open up for them. The enlightenment happens much faster. Their journey to spiritual mastery happens much faster. Everything's facilitated, and the life, both on the inner and outer, really comes together and becomes balanced. But if
yeah, that's a good statement. I'm glad that you're saying that, because enlightenment and liberation really mean the same thing. Enlightenment is a really good word because it's very uplifting. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Right. So what I'm going to do is go through a short hue. But what happens during a spiritual exercise is, before I do that hue, is an individual might be sitting in a comfortable position with their legs crossed, or they can be flat on the floor. It doesn't matter, as long as you're comfortable. And most important, be in as quiet a place as you can. Wear earplugs if you need to, if you hear traffic noise from outside or whatever. You want to try to scream out all those exterior disturbances if you can. And then what you do is just take a couple of deep breaths to relax yourself, close your eyes, put your attention on the third eye, what's also called the tisratil, that spot right between the two eyebrows above the bridge of the nose, just above there. And that's one of the higher chakras. And we put our attention there. And what we'll do initially is chant the word hue. And hue is a word that comes off the 10th plane where one reaches spiritual mastery, but it's another word for God. So it's a very high vibration. It can be used in a time of need or stress or fear, and it will dispel any kind of negativity. So we use this hue at the beginning of our contemplation, and when we chant it, it just sounds like it. Like I spoke it, H-U, it sounds like this. Hue. Hue. Moments, whatever, however long we feel like, really. And then after that, we're going to be quiet, continue to gently place our attention on the tisratil, the third eye. And don't worry about blocking out inner thoughts or experiences. They will automatically start dispelling on their own. We're not trying to make ourselves a void here. We're going to be active on the inner, having spiritual experiences, because as soon as we close our eyes, we're really having a sahaji or out-of-body experience. Then our awareness of that deepens the more that we contemplate. So it can become a very vivid experience where we're traveling through the inner planes in a satsang class at one of the temples of golden wisdom. There are many different experiences we can have. You may also hear the sound current, and that's the sound of Sirosha. The spiritual current is heard as sound and seen as light. So that sound current often comes in very, very strongly during the hue chant, during the contemplation, although we can hear it at any time during the day, but it usually comes in stronger at this point. You also might see a white light, which is a light from the higher planes, or the light of the master, which is a blue light, the inner light of the Mahaji Sri Kadavji. And that just means he's with you. And Sri Kadavji will be there as a guide, never to interfere, but help you in any way that you would like on your spiritual path. So we do this for 30 minutes every day. And it's very important to do it for 30 minutes, because that that 30 minutes means that we're bridging a 24-hour span, gaining the protection and the balance and the enlightenment from that 30 minutes. Sri Kadavji, is there anything that you'd like to add to that?
That was very deeply esoteric. I really appreciate that. That was very goodly information. The whole idea is that people are seeking God, but then they, as I've said before, they misinterpret it as mammon, which is a a derivation of the word money. So that's why these 99 out of 100 don't get it, because in reality they're not really seeking materialism, they're really seeking God, but they don't know it. So this 1%, the ready soul, is the ones that are attracted by Akasha because they can feel it. They when they hear that huge chant and practice the huge chant, then the Sarosha becomes palpable, becomes very real. You can feel it. It's very our talks that we give on Saturday nights definitely have a high vibration, and people, the ready soul is attracted to that. It's like a moth to the flame, and they're not burned up in the center because it's light. The center is not fire, but it is the light, and they see that light, and it's a mirror of their own self. See, so that light is what we're about. The Akata is a pure mirror, and then they come and see thyself in the mirror. So that's the esoteric properties that we bring because we're tapping the ocean of love and mercy, which is the Akshar that we call God, A-K-S-H-A-R, from the 12th plane where it resides. It's a divine it, not a he or a she. So when the scriptures talk about the he God created heaven and earth, or they created the lower planes, or they create the earth, well, you have to wonder, because it's not really the divine it. It is the genderized demon. So you see, they worship the demon, don't even know it. That's kind of a tragedy in itself. And a great danger, because that demon that we call Kalamaranjan, it controls these lower planes. Now, I touched on it briefly, but it's the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes controlled by this demon, Kalamaranjan. Now, the way around that, because it sounds pretty scary, is we talked about the hue chant eloquently, as you did, Leslie. The hue can get rid of that. It's kind of like a golden key. You get past, by chanting the hue, you get past the Kalamaranjan. See, so it's like a key that gets past the doorway. With him standing in the door, you can pass right by because the vibrations are real powerful. It's about power in the universe. And we know that. The lower worlds are, we're in an iron age right now. And people are channels of this negative force, and really are unconscious channels of the negative force. I mean, they're not really paying much attention to anything about them except scurrying about like rats in a cage. I mean, it's really, really a terrible time. But we can change all that by being conscious channels for the Sarosha. I mean, that's the whole idea. When people come to the path, that teaching of itself spreading out to the ready souls raises the state of consciousness. This vibration is not unsurpassed and will not be thwarted. See, that's the whole idea. The whole idea, even when the Mahaji is by himself not teaching the high path, because, see, Akata is not public sometimes, and therefore it still remains with the living master. And so, therefore, that power won't be thwarted because it is the state of consciousness in all peoples. However, sometimes the lower worlds are destroyed through that negativity part, you see. So the whole sustenance of the preservation time that we're in presently has been about 6 million years. And therefore, it can continue indefinitely with strong channels for the spirit. Now, this is not the channeling or trans-channeling, but it's awareness as the three goals of, as I said earlier, self-realization, God-realization, and Sarosha mastery, where we become very conscious of our individuality in each one of those goals. Now, self-realization would simply be when one maybe has had a few sahaji experiences, very lucid experiences, and then they attain the identity as soul, which is another ecstatic experience because they happen all the time. But this realization as soul is not something just discussed, it's the experience of it. Just like when we talk about the sahaji experience, the out-of-body experience, the lucid experiences are very ecstatic as well, because now you can see this realm of reality that perhaps people haven't been aware of in a long time. I mean, when people have these out-of-body experiences, they're pretty much condemned as hallucinations. But the interesting thing is when people have them, they know that they're real no matter how many people condemn them on the outside. They know that they're real, and that's the strong suit of the whole thing. I often say that people in other factions just put up with this stuff. They know that they're not true, but where else are they going? You see what I mean? Especially if you have a really fine teacher or minister that's a real good soul, that's a nice part of the other teachings. Is that sometimes you have someone who's not a taskmaster, and it's well worth it, that, because it's goodly and they're positive and things of that nature. But the problem is they can't give you spiritual liberation. Only Akita can do that. I know that's audacious, but so be it. That's the nature of the high path. The only path is the path of Akita. What's our timeline?
We have about a little over 4 minutes left.
Oh, well, I'm out of gas, so much for that. We can end it now. I'm kidding, of course.
No, but I would like to mention, before I forget, you were talking about the talk that's being given in coming up at the library, the Central Library. So I didn't want to give that information out because the next one is September 8th, Tuesday, September 8th at 6:30. It's at the Philadelphia Central Library at 1900 Vine Street. And it goes from 6:30 to 8. It is a free talk. As Srikadavji said, everything that we do is free. So feel welcome to come to that talk, and Srikadavji will be there giving the talk. So it will be a grand opportunity to meet him, because that doesn't come about too often, as often as we would like. So we still got about a little over 3 minutes. Did you have a few last things to say?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things we can talk about, and I hope we gave out most of the fundamentals. I think we did talk about daily 30-minute exercise as not being mandatory, but a very important supposition, you know, because it's very important that people apprehend the idea of attempting to do the daily sahaja experiences. And as you said, it really isn't an attempt, it's an experience. When you close your eyes, you're in that state of sahaja. In other words, when we talked about the spinning of the spiral of spirit, people are spinning all the time. So what we learn how to do is to adapt to that spin and be aware of the fact that we can cope with it within ourselves. See, that's the whole idea, that our world around us, that we look in terms of hard molecular substance, is really in a spinning mode. But we see it in a very slow state of spinning when we look out into the physical world, see? So that's part of the conditioning process to make it appear that it isn't spinning. See, that's the interesting thing, that our reality presently right now, Leslie, is in a spin, but it's slowly. We're just seeing it in a segment of that spin. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is. It is. It's very interesting. There was something else that I wanted to mention. I sort of lost. Oh, I know. It's about the website. I wanted to mention, if people want to hear Srikadavji talk some more, one, you can obviously listen to the archives of the Blog Talk Radio show, but you can also go to our website, akita.com. You can listen to audios. You can download books at no charge. There's an awful lot of wonderful information there. You can also download an application if you're interested in joining at no cost. And so that's very, very important. It's a great opportunity to see what's available, and we will process that out.
Right, exactly. And that just shows you we're not here being pitchmen, we're given a pure motivation of information.
Right. If you think you're that ready soul that's ready to do that, otherwise feel free to browse through the site, to look at the site, and get the information that you're interested in. We've got about 35 seconds left. I want to thank everyone for being with us this evening. We do invite you back next Saturday night at 6:30. Listen to the archives as you would like to. And with about 20 seconds left, Srikadavji, I just want to hand this over to you so that you might say a last few words to everyone.
Yes, I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bishad.